Of all the journey teams, I think this one gets, it gets the leftover preposition, doesn't it? The journey down. Some people are upset with that word. I think it's going to hell. I don't think you're going to hell. We're not going there. We could take almost any other preposition and stick it on there, couldn't we? Journey with, journey to, journey from, journey for. We have the up, we know that's growing in love of God. We have the in, that's growing in love with one another. We have the out, that's sharing with the world. And then we have everything else that fits into this space, this building, this place. Well, I want to pause for a moment about this journey. This is not a sermon about a building. I don't think I've ever preached a sermon about a building. Have you ever heard a sermon about a building? I pity you if you have. That's a waste of breath, I think, if you ever come to church and hear a sermon about, oh, isn't that beam wonderful? It is. I mean, I'm glad it's there, and it's sanctuary. But a sermon about a building just isn't going to cut it. What this might be is a sermon about a place. And I want to tell you about the precedents for that, and I actually want to hear from you, too, about the precedents. This book is full of places, holy places, sacred places, holy ground where God has been met. And people remember that. And they put rocks together and they build altars. There are mountains that are places where they know that if you go there, you will be close to God. There's a well called Jacob's Well. You've heard of that story. It's a place, and people remember it. I mean, it happened 1,000 years before Jesus, and Jesus is there one day. He meets a woman at the well, and she talks about our ancestor Jacob brought water at this well or got water at this well. And so places stick in people's mind, and what happens at places. There was a where, you know, that remember that place where that one river met that other river? And Jacob and Esau, and Jacob went to be reconciled with his brother from whom he was estranged, and he wrestled all night with an angel. That place, I'm talking about that place. Go to that place, and you will know a place where God is. So I want you to think for a moment, where are the places? Or maybe there's only one, but where is the place where you have met God? Where you have been close to God, where you have almost lost your breath or had your breath taken away. We call that breathtaking, right? Where is the breathtaking place where you have been close to God? Anybody have a word or phrase to describe that place? Try. Okay, on top of a mountain, literally a mountaintop experience. Clouds above, below. Where is a place, name the place, where you have been close to God, seen God, experienced God? On the water? Alaska. Ooh, the picture of the earth taken from space. That's breathtaking. We did that, you know. We took the picture. We didn't make the earth, but we did that. That's breathtaking. Anyone else? I'm not saying they're not there, but what I didn't hear is an indoor place. I haven't heard a single indoor place. And when I ask that question, it's very rarely. Well, I was sitting in. Now, my answer is an indoor place. I will tell you, in a hospital room and in a nursing home, I've been very close to God. But I guess the important thing here, and the reason I lift up this book as our model, is that this book is full of places where people have known God. And the book in particular that we read from today, the Psalms, the book of Psalms, there are 150 Psalms. I would almost bet that 95% of the Psalms themselves name a place where this person elicits thanksgiving and prayers and praise and gratitude for the place where they are and have known God. The opening verse of Psalm 90, Lord, you have been our dwelling place. A footnote here says the other word there that can be used is refuge. I think another rendering is sanctuary. You have been our sanctuary. I started to get into that with the kids, but it gets kind of complicated. But, you know, the word sanctuary is a place of where you can seek political refuge. You know, and people actually will come into a church and seek sanctuary. Refugees, exiles, political exiles from other countries have sought exile in the building, in the place where we meet God. That's a great image. So why are we such a people of place? So does the place give us that connection? Is that what you're saying?
Several.
Yeah, so, yeah, I think it's our physicality. It's being and living in a body that makes our experience of God so tactile. It's unavoidable. We can talk about love all day, but love is such a... It's just out there. It's like the clouds you just described. I mean, you can sort of see it sometimes. You can sort of sense it. But we really, when we get tactile with our love, you know, that hand on my shoulder really meant something then. Or your support, you know, the fact that you shared food or you, you know, brought that piece of spare furniture and you were helped, you know, furnish this apartment for somebody that was practically homeless. That kind of tactile stuff really matters. The fact that we live in a body, this is our embodied presence of God. Paul says it. He says, don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? That's one way to think about this place. I would preach that sermon about a building, that it's a temple of the Holy Spirit. But I wouldn't spend much time on that place, that building, so much as the temple that Paul names as your body. Because that's the one you take with you where you go. When you're at school or work or, you know, down the street. The temple of your body and taking the living presence of God with you everywhere. The other thing I want to say about this psalm, you know, I turn to the Psalms when I talk about this journey down. I think about down and this place as being where we are really grounded. And I've said that before, a way I understand our journey teams is that all journeys start somewhere. And we can do some things with this from this place. From this place, we journey up and we journey in and we journey out from this place. And how are the ways that we can use this place to enliven the journeys of others? I had a really nice visit this week with a young man from Burundi. I still haven't Googled that, but I need to look it up. It's a very small African country. And he worships with a group of about 50 Burundi people here in Des Moines. And they're looking for a place to worship. They worship right now in a Baptist church on the east side. And because of the times, the scheduling, it doesn't work well. And they were wondering about, you know, he walked in here and he's just like, oh my God, this would be amazing. So think about, what would it be like if we had a Burundi congregation worshiping here on a Sunday, on every Sunday afternoon? We're not using it. Maybe once in a blue moon we might do a Sunday afternoon thing in here, but we could work around that, I think. I'm throwing that out there because you are the ones who really need to make a decision like that. He comes to me as the pastor, but I can't make that decision. But so I'll probably be sharing it with the board, and we'll talk more about that. We already have a group that worships here on Saturday night, Saturday afternoon and evening, and they're downstairs on Monday evening. And this would put a group in here on Sunday. We're in here on Sunday morning. That would put a group in here. You know, so we're getting there. We have 7 days of the week that mostly this building sits empty, doesn't it? It bugs me to have a building like this sit empty all that time. And if you saw the smile on this guy's face when he walked in here, and he's like, you know, and they have 50 people. That's about what we have right here, right now. And to hear him talk, most of them are young kids. They have a lot of children in this Burundi congregation. And they have two pastors who don't speak English. They only speak Kirundi, I think. The country is Burundi and the language is Kirani or something like that. but anyway, think of the journeys that could start here in this place. So I invite you to be open to that. Would it be a headache? Some days, probably. Most of the time, we wouldn't even know they were here. But what an amazing thing to be a place where journeys are enriched and enlivened and inspirited with the presence of God. I'm going to end by just reading the psalm again, but I'm going to read it from another. We've had several iterations of this psalm today, you may not have noticed, but the opening words in the bulletin are from a translation by Norman Fisher. I've read his stuff before, and I've explained his back. He's Jewish, Buddhist, and he's reading the psalms. He went to a monastery, and these monks were chanting these psalms that he grew up with as a Jew. So it's really a convoluted way that he comes to. His language is beautiful in his renderings. And here's another rendering selected from the Hebrew by Stephen Mitchell of Psalm 90. Oh, and the other iteration was the very familiar hymn, O God, Our Help in Ages Past. That's a rendering of Psalm 90. Time like an ever-flowing stream bears all its sons away. I love that. So here he is. Lord, through all generations you have been our strength and our home. Before the mountains were born or the oceans were brought to life, for all eternity you are. 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it passes. You return our bodies to the dust and snuff out our lives like a candle flame. You hurry us away. We vanish as suddenly as the grass. In the morning it shoots up and flourishes. In the evening it wilts and dies. For our life dissolves like a vision and fades into air like a cloud. We live for 70 years or 80 if we are strong. Years filled with pain and suffering, they pass and we fly away. Teach us how short our time is. Let us know it in the depths of our souls. Show us that all things are transient, as insubstantial as dreams, and that after heaven and earth have vanished, there is only you. Fill us in the morning with your wisdom. Shine through us all our lives. Let our hearts soon grow transparent in the radiance of your love. Show us how precious each day is. Teach us to be fully here, and let the works of our hands prosper for our little while. Let the works of our hands prosper